Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. From roof repair to emergency plumbing and more, done well. So the next time you have a home project, leave it to the pros. Get started at Angie.com.
Father, or should I call you Steve? Since it's a new year, maybe we should start cooking fresh with fewer smoke alarms this time. Your cooking's improving, but I can see the stress in your eyes. Anna's mom used this Blue Apron assemble and bake thing during our playdate. Pre-chopped ingredients, over 40 grams of protein, and just one pan to clean up. She just tossed it in the oven and boom, pleading like she's got followers. So go to blueapron.com, Steve. Make 2026 the year you win dinner. Blue Apron. Get 50% off your first two orders plus free shipping with code LISTEN50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
It's a new year and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Now we're talking. Metal Chris with a little rinse out rejoin from the Grateful Dead bumper last segment. Judas Priest with Breaking the Law. Turn it up. Wasn't this a favorite of Beavis and Butthead?
It was. Yeah. It's got that iconic riff.
Breaking the Law. Turn it up. All right, I love it. Hour three is upon us here on this Sports Sunday on The Fan, 800-636-1067. My friend Mark Yarborough from Charlotte, North Carolina. He worked in radio with him a long time. He's going to give us the deets on where the Panthers go from here and thoughts on the game yesterday. But there'll be time for that in just a minute. I got to talk a little bit more concert going because we got a caller right now online. What line is he on?
Line one.
Line one, you're on the air. Your name is?
Ben from Silver Spring, Burtonsville.
Benny from Burtonsville. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great. And I was talking before, you know, you let me on. I've been to Dead, Straight, No Noodles, if you know what I mean. I've been to Jimmy Buffett, and I'm not drinking. I've been to Blue Oyster Cult, not taking any weed. But it's really kind of cool because I'm grooving on the tunes and really picking up on the vibe of my friends who are there. And we were also talking that it was kind of neat. It used to be in those days. Now, I've been to some concerts where I've been to Altered State. No big deal. And I remember every once in a while you might even get pulled over. And in those days, remember what the cop would say? Be safe, go slow, go home. I don't want to see you out tonight.
Right.
But I think in today's world of Uber and DoorDash, my kid's much better off than I was. I was stupid.
So, when you went to these concerts sober or straight with, as you say, No Noodles, you say it was cool because you could pick up the vibe of your friends. I know the few times I've been around some of my friends when I'm stone sober and they're couple deep, they get annoying pretty quick when I'm sober.
Don't get me wrong. I completely agree with you. I've been in places. My father once told it to me, put it best. He goes, hanging out with a bunch of drunk 18-year-olds is worse than hanging out with 6-year-olds. They're idiots.
Yes, exactly. And they often forget that you're sober for a reason. So they start going, come on, man, have a drink. What's up your butt tonight? Why don't you loosen up, man? And you're like, I'm sober. That's why.
Yeah, that's, you know, it's, but that's okay. I could still, now, there are places where I go and I'm drinking with everybody else. But, hey, if I choose to go straight to something, like especially because I was also a little bit older, so I was the one driving. So even back then, I was a little bit careful about what I did.
Tis a different world these days, and thank God for Uber and Lyft to get our kids and friends safely.
Hey, man,
and pretty soon we'll be.
Thanks for letting me.
All right, no problem. Appreciate it, Bob.
One last thing. Even though you're deep in the metal, there's nothing wrong with a mellow tune every once in a while to bring you back down for a second, so that you can spend that energy and go nuts on Judas or In My World or My Day, Deep Purple and Black Sabbath and The Cult and all kinds of stuff like that. Now let's get back to sports.
All right, now back to sports. Thank you for the call, Bob in Burtonsville. Yeah, get something mellow in your ears, in your ear canals, Chris. Just once in a while.
I mean, I like some chill stuff, too.
Yeah? What's the most chill stuff you like? Probably Judas Priest. You're like, that is the soft
stuff. No, I like some Pink Floyd.
Okay.
Pink Floyd, pretty chill.
Yes, absolutely. How about this? Why did rock and roll basically die as a format? Why are there no rock bands anymore? New rock bands.
I mean, there's tons of them. They're just not the mainstream bands, if that's what you're talking about.
Well, that's what I mean. Why is rock not a popular format?
Well, hip-hop is taking over, I think, a lot of what rock was like in the 80s and stuff.
You think so?
Yeah. Well, I mean, not even just like, you know, on the charts, but like, you know, back in the 80s, you know, you had this hair metal and everybody's talking about how many girls they have, how much money they have, their cars, their drugs they're doing, whatever. And then grunge came around and kind of made that uncool. You know, right. Nirvana and Pearl Jam and Soundgarden, these bands, and it's like no longer cool to be like flashing cash and all that. It was like, you know, sing about your real life and whatever. And hip hop kind of took that place where, like, if you look at, you know, a lot of, not all hip hop, but like a lot of the biggest artists, you know, once Puff Daddy came around, it kind of changed it to this whole, like, look how much money I got, look how much cash I. It's like a very similar what they're talking about, even though, and it's just kind of this frivolous, you know, everything's a party and everyone's doing drugs and, you know, I don't know. I feel like there's always going to be something doing that. Right now, it's hip hop's kind of turn, and who knows? Maybe it'll be country in a couple of years or whatever. You know, it's just kind of revolves. Like pop kind of eats itself. You know, so
tastes do evolve, trends rise and fall, and it's hard to figure out which way some of these things are going. But that's where people in the industry are frantically trying to figure out, how do I get ahead of the next big thing? All right, let's get back to sports here. Because we are a sports show, for God's sakes. We've got three football games today. Looking forward to sitting there on the couch and becoming one with it. Bills Jaguars at 1:00 on CBS. Jaguars -1.5. It's funny how much Jacksonville and Jacksonville fans, and I have a buddy who's a big Jaguars fan, they're so proud of and yet rabidly defensive of Duval County, Jacksonville, Florida, and the fact that they are the overlooked franchise, the overlooked team and market. They get really triggered by the whole quote-unquote small market team. When Sean Payton of the Broncos said that prior to their matchup in the final couple weeks of the season, it was a legit rallying cry. And, you know, Liam Cohen said after the game, not bad for a small market team. It's so funny. I don't fully understand it. I kind of understand it for my friend who lives down there, but it really is Duval versus all y'all, as their saying goes, in terms of the way they look at the world. The Bills come into the playoffs with none of the expectations they've been saddled with the last several years, and with none of the big, bad, scary Hall of Fame quarterbacks that have ended their seasons before. No Burrow, no Lamar, no Mahomes. The track is clear in that regard. Not that Trevor Lawrence isn't playing at a very high level. He is. He's just not Patrick Mahomes. So maybe this is the year the Bills do get it done because the expectations are low and the decks have been cleared. If they don't today, then it's going to be some hard questions time up in Buffalo. 4:30, Niners and Eagles from the Link. Eagles are favored by 6 in this one. I don't quite get it. I know that I think Trent Williams is hoping to play today. That's a huge inflection point injury-wise for the Niners. But I don't understand why a low-powered offense like Philly against a team that I think is always a tough out because of the way Kyle Shanahan has them coached and just by the nature of the way they play. I don't see why it's a 6-point margin. I think this should be Eagles 2.5, 3, but what do I know? The Vegas casinos are the ones that have the big shiny buildings, not me. So the number is 6 here. It's hard for me to look at the Niners and not say, I'll take a piece of that. Last time the Niners were here in the playoffs against the Eagles, NFC Championship game, and first drive, poor Brock Purdy cracked his elbow on a helmet, and next thing you know, he's having Tommy John surgery, and their season was over, game was over. They pretty much had no backups from there, and the Eagles cakewalked into the Super Bowl. 8:15 tonight, Chargers-Patriots. You've got Jim Harbaugh and Justin Herbert, who I love, but with a bad non-throwing hand that they've rested for a week. And they have as good a chance to go in there and knock off the Patriot team, which was the story of the year, given the fact they completely flipped, the biggest turnaround of any team this year, going from 3 wins to 14 wins with the emergence of Drake May as a legit guy. If you were on the fence about Drake May last year as a rookie with Jerod Mayo as coach, who was a one and done and probably rightfully so, obviously he's got it going on right now. He's really, really good. Led the league in completion percentage and yards per attempt, which means he's throwing it accurately and he's not just dinking and dunking. Patriots are -3.5 tonight on NBC with the great Mike Tirico calling it. Last night was an Amazon Prime game, the last Amazon Prime game of the year, and it had Al Michaels and Kirk Herbstreit. And my feelings on Al Michaels at 82 are well known. He is long past his prime. His calls are not good. He was actually better last night, as I listened, than he has been in recent memory, but he wasn't good. And at some point, you just got to go, you don't need him. Like, but of course, Amazon Prime, taking their cues from Netflix and taking their cues from Hollywood and their notion of show business, you get the big stars. So what if De Niro's kind of old? Can he still play this role? So what if, I'm just throwing out names, Clint Eastwood, he's too old now to act, but you know, they go for the names, the stars above quality. And I, for one, as a sports fan, I just want quality. I want good. I want the good announcers. I also am not a Herbstreit guy. And there's one main reason why. There's too much Herbstreit. He's everywhere. And for those of us that watch sports or in the sports media business, we can't avoid him because he is everywhere. And unlike most game analysts, where they come on and all they do is they analyze the game that is sitting in front of them, down beneath them in the press box, Herbstreit is a commentator. He is part of a panel show or a desk show, College Game Day, the number one vehicle for ESPN, and he offers his opinions and perspectives on any and all issues that exist in the world of college football. So his opinions are out there. And anytime you put your opinions out there, and this would be my case, I'm in the opinion business, my product is here's what I think about this, you subject yourself to being quite unliked for some of your opinions. Or, if not your opinion itself, you become quite unliked or even hated for the way you say those opinions. And then if you're Herbstreit, you add on top of that the sort of hidden agenda of, hey, you know what, let's help out our guy Lane Kiffin and say if he wants to coach Ole Miss in the playoff, he should be allowed to do that. I mean, that was obvious that he had no time or bandwidth to do it because even the assistant coaches were grinding away during the week in Baton Rouge hosting portal recruits when they were still trying to, you know, get ready to play a game. And people rightly said, hey, Herbie, can we revisit you and your other guys on the set begging to keep Lane Kiffin on board? So that, to me, I can't separate that. Me knowing that about Herbstreit poisons the experience of him calling these games. The other thing that I don't appreciate as the customer is that the analyst for this game last night, a really amazing comeback by the Bears, iconic franchises, wonderful winter weather, little flurries early, some flurries late. is that as the customer, I want the best guys. And Herb Street is what I call side hustle Herbie here. He's dropping in to do an NFL game. And no matter how much you go, well, he knows the NFL just fine. He's a sports fan. He's a football fan. He knows the guys from college. I mean, come on. He knows how to analyze what he sees in front of you. No, no. The point is, this is a side hustle for him. A very lucrative one, by the way. And I don't blame him for taking the job. I would if it was offered. But as the customer, I'm like, no, I don't want Grandpa Al at 82 and side hustle Herbie calling this game. I want dedicated professional NFL announcers who that's what they do, the NFL. And preferably the play-by-play guy is, say, under 70 would be a good start. Hey, you'll be there soon, old man. I know, at 58, it's coming quicker than I want. That said, it wasn't a terrible game. I joked on Twitter. I go, I'm going to buy a coupon of 3 gripes about this broadcast team, and when I'm out, I want you to hold me to it. I ended up only using one, which was the fact that Al Michaels talked about how they had dinner. They had a dinner in the press box at halftime, a sit-down dinner, white tablecloth dinner in the press box, but that they got plastic utensils. What do you want? It's halftime. NFL halftimes are quick. They're 12 minutes. The college halftimes take forever. Anyway, must be nice to be Al Michaels. He's 82 years old, making millions of dollars still, doing what he loves to do. And everyone else, all you young guys that ask me for advice in the business, should I do this? I want to like some advice from a guy who's been in media, sports media for a long time. Yeah, my number one advice is, if you want to be a play-by-play guy, good luck. It's almost like swearing an oath of celibacy as a monk. You're signing on to one of the most slow-moving career tracks that has so few openings. Good luck. When we come back, my man, Mark Yarbrough from Charlotte, North Carolina. The Panthers had a chance yesterday. Plus, he is a longtime OG Redskin fan from before when the Panthers even existed down there. And so he watched every Redskin game. We'll talk to him next. You're listening to Sports Sunday on The Fan.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
Mom, Dad, I'm not throwing shade, but the whole New Year's resolution thing, kind of slipping, no offense. Anyway, my best friend Jenny's dad, crushing it. He uses Blue Apron. He says he ordered one pan assemble and bake meals and these things called meal kits. They're all super easy to make. He keeps yelling, protein and fiber, baby. Also, the food, we tried it. So good. So maybe you check it out or whatever. Blue Apron. Get 50% off your first 2 orders plus free shipping with code LISTEN50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sophia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
A new year is a clean slate, and this year, learning a language is the resolution that actually sticks. With Rosetta Stone, it's never been easier to start fresh. Whether you're leveling up your career or prepping for a 2026 trip, our bite-sized lessons fit perfectly into your busy day. Learn while you grab coffee or during your lunch break. It's that simple. You'll see progress fast, helping you feel more confident and connected. And because Rosetta Stone uses an immersive, intuitive method, you'll learn naturally, without memorizing boring word lists. For over 30 years, we've been the trusted leader in language learning with 25 languages to choose from, including Spanish, French, German, Japanese, and more. Rosetta Stone is the go-to tool for real language growth. Don't wait. Unlock your language learning potential now. Listeners can grab Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for life. Visit rosettastone.com/RS10 to get started and claim your 50% off today. Go to rosettastone.com/RS10 and start learning today.
I'm going to play Name That Tune with our next guest here, and this is a damn layup because once upon a time when I worked with Mark Yarborough at WFNZ in Charlotte, North Carolina, I was on a remote where there was speakers playing music in the background, and Yarbs was back on the board, and he was pretty much naming every single song that came over the speakers, including one-hit wonders like this one. Yarbs, go ahead. Tell us what we're listening to right now. Oh, you can't hear it, can you,
Yarbs? Yeah, I'm hearing...
Oh, that's right, because I called you. It is...
Wait a minute. Steve, is that Sounds of Silence from Simon and Garfunkel? Is that what...
That's what you were hearing, yes.
Yes, no, that's what I was hearing. Yes.
This is Funky Town by...
Oh, Lips Inc.
Lips Inc., exactly right. Yeah. L-I-P-P-S.
Yes, yeah, Lewis Lips Inc.
I love it. Mark Yarborough, former colleague of mine at WFNZ in Charlotte, North Carolina, the pride of Gastonia, North Carolina, home of James Worthy and who else famous besides you?
Eric Sleepy Floyd.
That's right.
You'll remember him from his, 50-plus in a playoff game for the Warriors one time?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Sleepy was a damn good player. Played Golden State, Houston.
Yeah. Good long NBA
career. Yeah, they played at the same time. They played each other for the state championship in 1977. Yep. I'm guessing. So,
Mark most recently was 7:30 the game down in Charlotte. Before we get going on the Panther game yesterday and everything else, I just got to say, I know why they have the synthetic field turf at the artist formerly known as Ericsson, Bank of America Stadium. I get it. I don't like it, though, Mark. It does not.
I hate it,
right.
Steve. I absolutely agree. And most of the players have made it known that they don't like it. They've made it known to David Tepper that they don't like it. Certainly, beat writers here don't like it. They wish it would go back to grass. But
Yarbs, it's the southernmost piece of plastic in the league. There's no reason to have it. If Chicago can have natural grass, even though their field kind of sucks, they've made strides at least recently, then there's no reason Charlotte should be that way. Spend the money, Tepper.
Look at Pittsburgh. I mean, that field last Sunday night was in pretty good shape for, end of the year. It's just he doesn't want to, spend the money to upkeep it. It's easier to have the fake turf and put his concerts on it. Yeah. David Tepper likes to think that he brought music to Charlotte, that he was the first person to ever bring concerts here, which is a lie. I sat in that stadium and watched Mick Jagger and Keith Richards and the rest of their buddies when he was not the owner of the Panthers. So, he was not the first one to bring music here. But, I'm with you. I hate it. I wish they'd go back to grass, but I don't think it's happening.
That said, from when I was down there with you guys from 97 and 99-ish, about a three-year run, and I loved every minute of it. I loved the city. And we had a lot of bad teams that obviously we were watching. Mark and I, for those that don't know, got on ESPN one Sunday night wearing bags over our heads. And the great Mark Patrick, ESPN, may rest in peace, Super Sky Point to him, went, because this is what announcers do, Yarbs. He's like, you hate to see this. You hate to see it when the fans are this way. I really think what Dom Capers has going here, he's got some things going. And it's so funny watching the clip thinking... That's me and Mark under the bags.
Yes. Yeah. So, hey, you don't see many of those anymore. You don't see the bags on the heads anymore.
No, it requires a commitment to the bit because you've spent money to get in the stadium and you only see two little eye holes. It's not fun.
And here's the other problem, Dave, is, you know, there's plastic bags now and you can't.
Oh, right.
Yeah. You can't put plastic bags over your head. People would worry about you. So
they'd be asking.
Dropping
about
paper bags. Exactly.
So the Panthers were good before I came in about 96 with Kerry Collins, and it was electric down there. And then they were bad when I was down there. Obviously, with Cam Newton, they were good again, but they've been good for the first time in a while. The stadium sounded loud. How is the city vibrating right now with this team?
You know what? It was interesting. Before the game yesterday, I kind of made fun all week of people just losing their minds around here. And then the word came out that Cam was going to bang the drum before the game. And my joke was, I think people think Cam's going to play against the Rams. I think they expect him to go on the field and suit up. And no, all seriousness, the atmosphere was awesome in the city this week. It's been a long time, 10 years. Since there's been a playoff game for the Panthers. And they showed out yesterday, man, and they have absolutely nothing to be ashamed of. And I thought it was a great scene. I don't know if you caught the clip when Bryce walked off the field into the tunnel last night. The fans that were still there, and all of them were still there, it went right down to the wire.
Yeah.
They gave him a greater round of applause. And this team deserves a round of applause. They showed out yesterday. There were times where they looked early on like they were going to get their doors blown off, but they didn't. And I think you could see something here. The plan has people have questioned it at times, but I think that the plan is coming together. And I don't know if Bryce Young is ever going to be great, but I think you saw him yesterday. He could be really good, and you just need to see more of that. There's still games where Bryce is like, you're like, I don't know. But if he can cut down on those moments and play a little bit closer to what we saw yesterday, this franchise is going to be okay, I think, with their quarterback.
I believe the resurrection of Bryce Young as a viable QB1 is one of the more underrated, under-talked about stories because I had written him off for dead.
Sure.
So I want to put a pin in that, talk further in just a bit. But let's go back to Cam Newton for a second. It was his first appearance back anywhere in the stadium or with the team in a long time, and I'm wondering – why is he estranged? Is he estranged from the franchise? And if so, why?
That's a great question. And that's a question that people that cover this franchise, I don't even think know why there has been a rift between the two sides. There was I want to say this about a year ago or so, there was a conversation about if you walk through the, the press box and all that stuff in Bank of America Stadium, you couldn't find a picture of Cam Newton. You saw pictures of that team, that 2015 team, and maybe he was a part of the picture, but there were no standalone pictures of Cam Newton, you know, doing something spectacular. You couldn't find one. And a lot of people like, well, there's obviously some type of rift. And I think he has made a reference to it on his podcast from time to time, that there, you know, there was something there. But whatever the rift was, they came to some type of agreement this past week, and you know he was out there yesterday, and the fans obviously ate that up. But yeah, I don't know what exactly the rift between the two sides is. I'm not sure. Even after it feels like it's been rectified, people they're like, what exactly was the problem to start with?
So if they've got the quarterback Bryce Young resurrected, lifted from the bottom of the ocean, which is wonderful for him. They have definitely hit on Tet McMillan. I was a little bit about him because some of the metrics and some of the things they were saying, like, could be a bit of a project. He looks sweet. Canales is devastatingly handsome and I think a solid coach. So things are definitely looking up down there in Charlotte.
They are.
Tepper has calmed down from what I've heard.
He has. He's backed off, which I think has been part of the reason why this team took steps this year. I still have from time to time issues with Canales' play calling, but I think it's, you can't argue with the results. Look, did they still have a losing record? Yes.
Yes.
But if I had told any Panther fan before the season started, you're gonna finish 8-10, but you're gonna get in the playoffs and you're gonna have a chance to pull off one of the big upsets ever in the playoffs as a double-digit underdog, I think every one of them would have taken that, considering where this franchise has been the last few years. So it's baby steps. And sometimes you got to have a little hurt to make it all work out in the end. And yesterday certainly was a little hurt. I mean, that's a loss. You're going to sit back and think of what could have been. But again, considering where your franchise has been the last few years, I don't know a Panther fan that wouldn't say, yeah, I'll wake up on Sunday morning disappointed that we lost at the playoffs, but at least we were there and we had a good showing on a national stage.
Right. So there's 8 job openings right now. Could be 2 more in the NFL. Do you think old Bill Belichick is going to be in the mix for any of them? And what are the thoughts of the people down there that he scraped through at least one full year with Jordan Hudson at his side, one of the more bizarre stories that we've seen in a long time. Do you think Belichick's in the mix for one of these jobs?
I don't get that feeling, Steve. I really don't. I thought he was going to get the Falcons job before Raheem Morris got it. I thought for sure Bill Belichick, because I think him and Arthur Blank, I thought there was a mutual admiration there that I thought he would end up there. And when he didn't get that job, I'm like, man, is he ever going to get a job in the NFL again? I don't get that feeling. What's interesting now is what he's added to his staff, and that's Bobby Petrino. So
yes,
let me see. You have Bill, you have his girlfriend, and who can I possibly bring in that I'm sure won't cause any ripples or anything? Oh, let me go get Bobby Petrino as my OC. So yeah, but I don't get the feeling that he's in the mix for any of these NFL jobs.
Is there a feeling like he could actually make Carolina football good again, as good as it got under Mac Jones? Mac Brown.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the jury's still out. Certainly, for all the hype we heard before this past season, you know, the references to the 33rd team, and they were basically going to be, you know, another NFL team, and.
Right.
I know you remember this. Remember that first game against TCU and that first offensive drive when they went right down the field? People lost their minds.
Yes.
And they had, you know, Bill Belichick as the coach of the year. And, oh, my God, North Carolina's going to be in the playoff. And blah, blah, blah. And then they ended up losing by 100 in that game. And that was that first drive was the high watermark for Bill Belichick this season. I mean, that was it. That was as good as it got for him.
Yeah.
Right. I don't get to feel people think that it's going to happen for him.
One more thing with you. I saw where Fox was promoting, or no, I think Amazon was promoting the upcoming season opener NASCAR, obviously Daytona. And so it got me thinking NASCAR again, because Charlotte being the home and heart and beating heart of NASCAR. I'm just wondering where the sport is, given that it seems like we talked about it more on sports radio back in the day than it's talked about now on sports radio. How is NASCAR overall as an entity? You had Jordan, Michael Jordan, take him to court yards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Zabe, it's been a horrific offseason for NASCAR. I mean, you look at the Greg Biffle's tragic plane crash. You mentioned the lawsuit with NASCAR and 2311 Motorsports, Jordan and Hamlin. Diddy Hamlin's parents were in a house fire a couple weeks ago where he lost his mom, his dad, his mom. His mom is still, I think, in the hospital up the burn unit up in Winston. It's been a terrible offseason, and unfortunately, that feels like that's gotten the most traction. Not something that, you know, on the track during the season.
Will the lawsuit affect positive change for competitive balance and or sustainable money-wise for these teams in NASCAR, do you think?
I don't know. And here's the other funny part. I'm not even still sure what the lawsuit was. I think people that cover the sport are maybe not even quite sure. They know they spent a lot of days at the courthouse talking about the lawsuit, but I'm still not sure people fully understand what exactly they were litigating about.
It was saying that it was a monopoly, and NASCAR is like, yeah, duh, that's how we've run it. The good old boys is how we like it. But you know, wants to be a major 21st century modern motorsports league or organization, I think at some point you got to get out of the old boy way of doing things.
Yep, I would 100% agree with that.
All right. Yarbs, it's been too long since I've seen you. I'm going to make sure I get a road trip down there to lovely Charlotte in the spring. And in the meantime, good luck to your Wolfpack, because I know that that's where your heart lies.
Yeah, hey, they put 113 on Florida State yesterday.
So love it.
Trending in the right direction.
All right. Thank you, Yarbs. Good to talk to you. Okay, there you go. Mark Yarborough, my former colleague at WFNZ, and most recently at the game 7:30 down there in Charlotte. Coming up, of all the nuggets that came out of last night's incredible comeback by the Bears over the Packers, the boast by Caleb Williams about punting that was used against him like a hammer, well, it finally came home. I'll tell you about that next. You are listening to Sports Sunday right here with the Zabe.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Mom, Dad, I just have to say, it breaks my heart watching you stress over dinner every night. This year, I don't want you doing the fridge stare down. Hot take, with the new Blue Apron, eating healthy is easy. They've got pre-made and one-pan meals with plenty of balanced nutrition. No subscription needed. You could be plating like a chef instead of negotiating with leftovers. Make it your healthy, tasty, and easy 2026 dinner resolution. Just saying.
Get 50% off your first two orders plus free shipping with code LISTEN50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year, because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
A new year is a clean slate, and this year, learning a language is the resolution that actually sticks. With Rosetta Stone, it's never been easier to start fresh. Whether you're leveling up your career or prepping for a 2026 trip, our bite-sized lessons fit perfectly into your busy day. Learn while you grab coffee or during your lunch break. It's that simple. You'll see progress fast, helping you feel more confident and connected. And because Rosetta Stone uses an immersive, intuitive method, you'll learn naturally, without memorizing boring word lists. For over 30 years, we've been the trusted leader in language learning with 25 languages to choose from, including Spanish, French, German, Japanese, and more. Rosetta Stone is the go-to tool for real language growth. Don't wait. Unlock your language learning potential now. Listeners can grab Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for life. Visit rosettastone.com/RS10 to get started and claim your 50% off today. Go to rosettastone.com/RS10 and start learning today.
Welcome back, Sports Sunday. Zabe here, Metal Chris behind the board. Man, it's already 11:40. We've been rolling along nicely here. Games start at 1 o'clock. We'll be out of here at 12:30 for the pregame. Got a bunch of little nuggets from last night and yesterday afternoon, and looking ahead to today as well. So once upon a time, when Caleb Williams, not shy on confidence, was the number one pick of the draft, he texted the Bears punter, Torrey Taylor, and he said, "Hey, pal, looking forward to joining you guys. Just so you know, you're not going to get a lot of work once I get there." bragging about how we're never going to punt. Well, last year, his rookie season, I'm pretty sure that they were the most puntingest team in the league. I believe they led the league in punts. So, womp, womp, yeah. Hey, bro, you're not going to be punting when I get there because I'm so awesome at football. And then Torrey Taylor nearly had his leg fall off punting all the time last year. Well, guess what happened last night? The Bears did not punt. Now, it helps that they went for it six times on fourth down, and they converted two of the six, 33%, which I would imagine the numbers nerds would say, that's not optimal. It's not a great result right there. I don't mind the going for it on fourth and convertible when achieving that first down unlocks a strong position to score points, i.e. field goal range and or first and goal inside the 10, then yeah, of course, go for it. But it's the going for it on fourth and no guarantee type distances like fourth and two at your own 34, that are dumb because they don't unlock immediate rewards. They went for it six times on fourth down and then also scored a good number of points, 31 points in the victory. So, yeah, there you go. Torrey Taylor did not punt last night for the Bears. Some other nuggets from the NFL. Stephon Diggs and his arraignment on his domestic violence charges has been delayed until after the Super Bowl. Of course, the NFL has already decided that they're not going to get in there and park him in the so-called commissioner's exempt list, which is a paid suspension until we sort things out and see what's going on. That used to be the way the league operated, that if there was actual charges involving domestic violence, that they would preemptively say, we are not going to stand for this, but now it's the playoffs, and I guess the NFL just doesn't have an appetite for it. The Patriots actually have two guys that are in that situation right now. This year, the Panthers played as many games as an underdog as the Raiders did, and the Raiders are picking first in the NFL draft. In other words, you cannot coach a football team better than Dave Canales did this season. That from Paul Hembo, as they call him, one of the lead researchers at ESPN. That's a Hembo nugget right there. The last time the Bears beat the Packers in the playoffs was before tonight, or the last time they beat them before last night. Pearl Harbor had happened 6 days earlier. The NFL was not regularly televised. FDR was president, and the number one song in the country? Get a load of this metal, Chris. You want to guess what the number one song in the country was the last time the Bears beat the Packers in the playoffs?
Like the four, we were like Bing Crosby or something? It's Christmas time, right? It's got to be some Christmas music, I'm going to guess.
Not a bad guess. You got to go back even further. The number one song in the U.S. was Chattanooga Choo Choo.
All right.
Kyle Brandt, big Bear fan, very talented guy on NFL Network, actually had a piece this week in which they found footage of the style of football. I don't think it was the actual Packer Bear game. It might have been footage from it. It was wild. I mean, there was no hash marks on the field. The numbers for the yard lines were all the way out near the sideline, so you kind of couldn't see them. And let me just put it this way. The passing, what few passes teams would dare to make, was really, really bad. But it should be that way because it was 100 years ago. This one from at Section 344 Lions. Pretty unreal that the result from maybe the biggest all-in trade I've ever seen for the Packers getting Micah Parsons was a 9-8-1 season where they ended up losing their final five games, including a second time to their rival in the playoffs. Somebody up in Green Bay severely miscalculated where that roster was at. They're nowhere close to what they think they are. That could be very, very accurate. Also, they don't have a first-round pick for the next two drafts. So that's also not good. Aaron Torres, Fox Sports Radio. Wild stat, the Bears have now won seven games this year when trailing in the final 2 minutes. Seven. Insane. Boy, that sounds like a lot lot like a team that I know from our neck of the woods a year ago, right? Some years, you just seem to have that stink of magic about you, and you win when you shouldn't, and crazy things happen. That's why, as the phrase goes, as Van Pelt likes to say on Van Pelt Center, I signed up for 60. Sign up for 60 and see what happens. Quick break, final segment. On the other side, I had a setup here. What else? Oh, non-sports. I got a good non-sports story for you next, then we'll round our way into the final half hour. You're listening to Sports Sunday right here on The Fan. I'll admit it, I'm as addicted to as anybody to short videos on the internet, and I scroll for them and swipe for them as much as anybody else. I know it's terrible for your overall mental makeup. It's frying our brains, to be honest. We're not really meant to be 30-second video, and to see all the stuff that we're seeing, so I'm trying to wean myself off of it. But if you're going to post a short video, my God, people, can we just stop with the vertical video? And the sad thing is, not only are people not stopping, I believe that we have so thoroughly lost the war, it's hard to even describe how badly those of us who understand the superiority of a 16:9 widescreen aspect to watching video for almost all content, save for perhaps just a single person in a talking head video, because you can't see what's going on. You see a bunch of needless ground and a bunch of needless sky when you really want to be seeing the horizontal aspect of, hey, who's over there? Hey, what's going on to that side? But people are dumb, and so they just put their phone up and hit record on the video and don't think twice. Well, here's the depressing news about this, Metal Chris. Disney Plus is now adding vertical videos to their platform. The goal is to turn Disney Plus into a must-visit daily destination for short-form content.
No.
Oh, just my God. There was a hilarious YouTube video that talked about this vertical video syndrome PSA. This is a silly little puppet show video on YouTube. It's 13 years old now. And it's more appropriate than ever.
This video didn't have to look this way. It could have been prevented. Say no to vertical videos.
Vertical videos happen when you hold your camera the wrong way. Your video will end up looking like crap.
There are more and more people addicted to making vertical videos every day. It's not crack or nothing, but it's still really bad.
Yeah, it is.
There are two different kinds of people who are afflicted with VVS. The first group treats the videos they shoot like pictures. They don't mean any harm. They just don't understand that while you can turn a picture, you can't really turn a video.
TV falls off this.
Is people who
stand.
Don't give a s***.
Vertical videos.
It goes on even longer than that. That's 13 years ago, Chris, before the invention of platforms and social media portals like, Instagram now is mostly vertical video, although you can set it up otherwise. Obviously, TikTok is pretty much all vertical, although you can set it to go, hey, turn your phone and it'll go sideways. The current generation, they're so lazy, they're like, I don't even want to turn my wrist. Oh, God, I got to turn my wrist to see this. It's really, really depressing to me, oddly enough, because I'm in media and I do like short-form videos, but whenever I see somebody post something vertically and then they've got to kind of scroll and pan to go, oh, yeah, and then the guy's over here, oh, it drives me crazy. But perhaps it's just a pet peeve that I'll have to deal with. I believe that the war has been lost. Maybe the only answer is watch less short-form video. I'm going to watch 3 football games in about 30 minutes, and my goal is to move as little as possible from the couch to wherever I have to go. Couch to fridge, fridge to kitchen, kitchen to bathroom, back to couch. Try to stay awake for the whole 9-hour run until nightfall or until I go to bed tonight, and then say, all right, we got one more on Monday. Let's finish strong. I will finish strong here on Sports Sunday as we turn the page into the noon hour, the latest on the inactives from Jacksonville against the Buffalo Bills, and my other final thoughts on the two other games tonight before today is done. Hour three, straight ahead. We are here, the rump end of my 3.5 hour run this morning on The Fan. Thank you for joining me. Metal Chris behind the board. Had a good morning so far, talked to a bunch of people, and covered a lot of ground, including last night's game in which the Packers just threw the game away. Yet again, Matt LaFleur has had a number of meltdowns this year. We'll see what happens there, whether or not they decide to keep him and hope things change, or to take this moment to go, you know what, you've done a nice job, but we've gone as far as we can with you. 8 jobs are open in the NFL. 2 more could come open. We'll see what happens today. I got inactives for the first game today, which will kick off in just about an hour. For Buffalo, linebacker Terrell Bernard, safety Darnell Savage, running back Ty Johnson, corner Max Hairston, tackle Tylan Grable, tight end Leleki Latu, and D-tackle Larry Ogunjobi are inactive today for the Buffalo Bills. The Jaguars have left tackle Cole Van Landen, along with tight end Hunter Long, running back DJ Davis, wide receiver De'Ami Brown, defensive tackle Mason Smith, and defensive end Emmanuel Ogba as inactive. People have asked me over the years, do you understand why do they have inactives? These guys are healthy, and they could suit up. They could be available to play. Why does the NFL do this? And I didn't understand it for a long time myself until it was explained to me thusly. They said they want to even out on the edges of a roster, the perhaps just the random disparity in health of a team, by limiting your game day roster to 45 or whatever the number is. So they make you sit a number of guys, declare them as inactive, so that if one team is healthier than the other with their 53-man roster, which is what they can carry week to week during the season and also in the postseason, that it smooths out the edges of, well, it's not fair. We didn't have as many guys that were healthy. And that's the reason they do it. There are some significant names in those two lists of players, but guess what? It's the NFL. More guys will get hurt. More guys will leave these games today, and coaches are just going to have to figure it out one way or the other. So yesterday in the NFL, the two games that happened, the Rams escaped the Panthers after they almost got again in Charlotte. The Rams were not good. Stafford hurt his finger. He's having tests on that today. Was clearly less effective. They could have gone up 20-3 early. Sean McVay decided to not kick a field goal on 4th, and I want to say 4 or 5, something like that, inside the 30, driving for a potential touchdown, did not convert, and they ended up with no points. Panthers then went down the field, scored a touchdown. It was a 10-point swing, and the Panthers just would not go away in this game. And they blocked a punt by the Rams late in the game, with the Rams leading, that led to a short field touchdown. And for that brief moment, with about 2 minutes and change left, it looked like the Panthers were going to pull the biggest upset, point spread-wise, of the weekend. But instead, Matt Stafford went dink, 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 down the field, touchdown, and that was that. So McVay and Stafford live another day, and we'll see where they go based on whether or not the Niners or the Eagles win later on this afternoon. The Packers were up 21-3 on the Bears at halftime. In fact, they're almost up 24-3. Something interesting happened at halftime, or just before halftime. The Bears were just struggling, not having anything going on. And the Packers were moving up and down the field at will. The Bears get the ball back with over a minute to go in the first half. I want to say it was about 115, 120. And they got all 3 timeouts. And they start to, you know, start their drive, and they throw a short pass, complete inbounds, and the clock is running. And they've got 3 timeouts, and they're not taking their timeouts. And I'm like, what's Ben Johnson doing? And it dawned on me that they were so afraid at that point that they couldn't stop the Packers They didn't want to call their own timeouts and leave any time whatsoever left for Green Bay to move the ball. So it was only then after the first two plays in which LaFleur realized, well, they're not going to call timeouts. They're afraid of us. He called a timeout. It saved like 34 seconds. They were able to get a couple completions, get the ball into field goal range. McManus is lining up for a 51-yarder. The Bears call timeout at the last second. And McManus's 51-yarder, which is good, doesn't count. Practice kick. Then on the second attempt, he hooks it wide. They miss. They could have been up 24-3 at the half. I don't know if that would have mattered, but still, that's how the game was going. And if you're watching the game through Packers lenses, you're thinking, all right, those three. I mean, God darn it. I mean, we're still up 21-3. Dominating the Bears. What's there to worry about? But then in the back of your head, you're like, I don't like the look of that. It's like watching a movie in which there's a scene in which everything's fine and nice and it's sunny and the protagonist is having a nice happy day. And then in the background, there's a weird looking dude in a trench coat smoking a cigarette. You know, well, what's that guy doing there? Just a weird foreshadowing. That was what that missed field goal was. And it would only get worse from there. Still in control, up 21-6, end of the third quarter was when all the mayhem began. And the Packers just pretty much unraveled. They ran out of gas on defense. They were also running out of bodies. Caleb Williams was pulling some amazing plays out of his you-know-where. And on a fourth and eight, they snapped the ball, the Bears did. Or no, I think it was like fourth and three. They snapped the ball, but the play was blown dead because the center moved the football prior to the snap. And that made it fourth and eight. The snap itself on that play was over the head of Caleb Williams. It would have absolutely ended the drive. It would have likely ended the game with, I believe, 5 minutes and change to go and the Packers up 11. And instead they got a redo. And on the redo on fourth and eight, Caleb Williams scrambles out of pressure, throws this incredible cross-his-body throw that somehow floats down right in the middle of one, two, three, four Packer defenders, and Rome Odunze grabs it, and he's in. And they stay alive. And that's football. Things are so close sometimes between... And I think about that going, all right, if you're LaFleur and you get fired tomorrow or today... Because of this, you got to be so sick to your stomach thinking this is the life that these coaches live on, the razor edge of one way you're there. You know, like with the Harbaugh and the field goal by Tyler Loop, the meme that goes around with the goalposts where on the outside it says Tomlin fired, on the inside it says Harbaugh fired. Or no, the other way around. Tomlin fired on the inside, Harbaugh fired on the outside. So that game... just was a slow motion train wreck and yet another LaFleur fiasco. It was not well done. He was using timeouts in the wrong places, and they just lost their nerve. If they fire LaFleur, obviously they're going to make a run at Harbaugh. I did not know until we talked to our friend Jerry Coleman from Be More Football Podcast that Harbaugh's agent is the brother of Kevin Harlan. And so there is the Harlan family connection because Bob was the longtime team president of the Packers. I think it's the most attractive job because it's got the best youngest quarterback in place already without any worries about, okay, how's he going to turn out? I know the Giants job looks attractive because people like Jackson Dart. I think Jackson Dart has some very strong QB1 qualities, but man, he runs himself into danger way too much. This is not me breaking any news that he is a guy that does not know how to protect himself. He's been in the damn blue medical tent on, I think, six or seven games already. So the Green Bay job would be a very attractive one for Harbaugh, who's considered to be the best guy. I really think Stefanski would be the guy I'd want because I think Stefanski, two-time coach of the year, pretty much with no quarterbacks. I mean, Baker Mayfield for that 1 year was his best quarterback he had. I think Stefanski with Jordan Love would absolutely cook. Then you got all the other teams that are going to have to be scrambling around and trying to find guys. And then, on top of that, you got the Rooney Rule. The Rooney Rule is an absolutely good idea, in theory, that to increase minority hiring of coaches in the NFL, you should have to interview one legitimately whenever your job is open. On paper, that works, that's fine. I am all about it. But in cases like Harbaugh, where there's going to be a lot of people coming for him, that dynamic of, well, hold on a second, we might want to hire this guy. You don't want to hire anyone else. You want to put the best package in front of Harbaugh right now before anything else happens. But you got to go through the process. And if you're one of the minority candidates interviewing, most of them know for a fact that, guess what? You're not there to get the job. So it's a complete waste of your time. They had Antonio Pierce, in part because he's a former Giant, in for an interview. The failed, washed-out coach of the Raiders. A guy who probably shouldn't have gotten the job. He did a decent job, won a game or two as an interim guy, but then got the job full-time and quickly crashed out. That's not a serious interview, but he happens to be black, so it counts for the Rooney Rule. It's a flawed thing. I don't know if there's a solution to it, but the way it's working out right now, it's just, it's not what it was intended to be. I think I would rate the jobs as follows. If Green Bay opens, they're one. I think if Buffalo somehow opens, if they lose today and they decide to get out of the McDermott business, that's two. Again, because of the quarterbacks. I would think Baltimore is three. If Lamar is happy and dialed in, new contract and everything else, I would say the Giants would probably be four. Then you got Cleveland, bad owner. You're going to have to navigate the Shadur thing where the media and a lot of fans thinks he's better than he is. Shadur thinks he's better than he is. And you don't really have anyone else as an option unless you count Dylan Gabriel as another option. It's not a great job. The Raiders, they'll have the number one pick in the draft. That's good. But terrible organization. But maybe Tom Brady gets more involved. That one is an interesting one. Miami, you'd probably get more control from Ross down there in Miami. But they're trying to get out of the Tua business. And the rest of their team is, not great. Atlanta, interesting. Kirk, still there. Penix coming off knee surgery. Arthur Blank seemingly getting more impatient all the time. Raheem Morris, one and done. Dicey. Tennessee, Cam Ward, the number one, who's got great traits, physical talents. He's made some great plays this year, but they were a god-awful non-functional team. The roster has a long way to go, and I'm not wild about the owner there as well. It's not a great job. Arizona, kind of similar to Tennessee, with a shade of Miami in there as well. The good thing is, for all these coaches, these jobs pay well, even for the lesser teams and franchises, and it's usually guaranteed money. And the other part of it is this. If it's a good team with a good quarterback and a good situation, chances are the job won't be open. There'll be a guy there enjoying that existence. Final segment coming up next. Sportsmanship and having perspective in the heat of humiliating defeats is always a wonderful thing to see. And there was a prime example of that after the Indiana-Oregon game the other night. I'll tell you about that next and then put a wrap on today's show. And then we can go watch some football, everybody. You're listening to Sports Sunday right here on The Fan. I'm a sucker for sportsmanship, I'll admit it. I really like seeing this. An Oregon staffer found Indiana cornerback D'Angelo Pons, who is an outrageous talent. Good kid as well. Found D'Angelo Pons, the kid who picked one Dante Moore on the very first pass play of the game en route to that blowout, that humiliation of Oregon. Found him after the game and handed him the game used football that was involved in that play. And it was caught on someone's, I think ESPN's broadcast showed it. And it was a genuine, hey man, thanks a lot. I appreciate that. It helps that Indiana and Oregon are not natural rivals. Obviously, you would not have that if it was an Oregon State opponent against Oregon. But I dig that because, you know what, why not? The kid made a special play that ignited what was a historic night for Indiana, and the equipment guy had the actual ball and realized that life is short and we're all in this together as athletes and as coaches. So here you go, kid. Well played. Good luck in the championship. Again, I'm a sucker for it. All right, let's go to the phones real quick. We got a couple minutes, so let's fill it up. 800-636-1067. Mitch, listening in Jersey on the Odyssey app, joins us now. Hello, Mitch. How are you?
Good, Steve. Good show. Thanks for taking my call. Skay Williams, he seems to start playing in the second half, fourth quarter at times. Make life a little easy if he starts in the early, you know, from the gun, from the get-go. That has become some draft. Maybe it could be Caleb Williams and Drake May in the Super Bowl. And you remember what, you haven't figured out what Jalen Daniels did last year. So that's become one of the best drafts.
Oh, yeah.
Has there ever been a draft?
It could be
an absolute banger.
1, 2, 3. Thanks for the call, Mitch. And they're all such different players. May is the more prototypical pocket guy, but can move and will move in the pocket very nicely. Caleb is just a miracle maker. Inaccurate, more inaccurate now than he should be, but that could come along. And then you got Jaden Daniels, who was sensational last year, and we have to figure out how much of that was real and how much of that was they didn't have a handle on him. And he's got to stay healthy, knock on wood. PJ in Reston, you'll be last up today on a sports Sunday before an NFL triple header. Good morning. Good afternoon, PJ. How are you?
Pretty good. It's a privilege to be on. Thank you for having me.
I've got a
question and then like a thought. So I'll do my thought first and my question after. So my thought is that I think it would be a really bad move if the Packers got rid of Matt LaFleur. He's one of the brightest minds, I think, offensively in football. And his overall winning percentage is great. And what really gives him some depth is that he didn't just do it with Aaron Rodgers. He did it with Jordan Love as well. They scored 27 points. I just think what the problem is that you lose Micah Parsons. The defense kind of let them down. And then you got a kicker that's a decent kicker, but, you know, he just had a horrible game. And, you know, you add the calculus of that up and you end up losing a close game in Chicago against a Bears team that kind of looks like a rising force. And then my question is this. I don't watch too much college football during the regular season, but I love the playoffs and everything. I did not watch Indiana until they played Alabama, and I was blown away, particularly the stark difference between the coaching of Indiana's coach and Alabama's coach. Like when Alabama's coach went, kicked the field goal when they're already down like 28-3, 21-3, to me that was a complete malpractice. And then you look at the
move.
Yeah, and because it didn't make it. Like, if you're up 21-3, you hope the other team just kicks field goals. You know, like it doesn't do anything for them, especially when Indiana is scoring every time. Like, it's not like they're going to just blank Indiana out the rest of the game.
But I got to cut you off because I'm against a hard break. Are we okay, Chris? We're at 24-50 out?
No.
Metal Chris, help me out.
25-30.
25-30. You have 10 seconds for your
He's
question.
He's gone.
PJ.
I already dropped him when you said go. Sorry, you told him to go, so I got him.
All right. I just don't want to run face first into the wall that is the out.
We're getting close.
Okay. Kalen DeBoer is a good coach, but Cignetti appears to be this diamond in the rough, built different, and one of those guys that history in college football will say, how did nobody see what he could be a long time ago? But that's what makes sports fun, is the diamonds in the rough, the people that you didn't see coming, the outcomes you couldn't possibly predict, the heartache, and everything else. All right. Good job, Metal Chris. Thank you. Sweet Child of Mine on the way out. Thanks for listening, everybody. Enjoy the football. We'll see you next time.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
A new year is a clean slate, and this year, learning a language is the resolution that actually sticks. With Rosetta Stone, it's never been easier to start fresh. Whether you're leveling up your career or prepping for a 2026 trip, our bite-sized lessons fit perfectly into your busy day. Learn while you grab coffee or during your lunch break. It's that simple. You'll see progress fast, helping you feel more confident and connected. And because Rosetta Stone uses an immersive, intuitive method, you'll learn naturally, without memorizing boring word lists. For over 30 years, we've been the trusted leader in language learning with 25 languages to choose from, including Spanish, French, German, Japanese, and more. Rosetta Stone is the go-to tool for real language growth. Don't wait. Unlock your language learning potential now. Listeners can grab Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for life. Visit rosettastone.com/RS10 to get started and claim your 50% off today. Go to rosettastone.com/RS10 and start learning today.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
The holidays are behind us, and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall, so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
I meant those blackout motorized shades.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. I installed these and then got some from my mom. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Hall of Fame son.
They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Blinds.com is the GOAT.
Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions apply.